Welcome to Raptor Football Weekly. This is our sixth episode for season three. We want to thank our sponsor, Custom One, for their generous support of the Raptor football program and the use of the equipment. I'm here with Scott Holdeman and Coach Fritzy. Fellas, take it away.
Thanks, John, and welcome back, Raptor fans, for another edition of Raptor Football Weekly with head coach Dan Fritzy. I'm your host, Scott Holdeman. Last week, the Raptors beat White Bear Lake 28-20, and I guess you can call it a back-and-forth game. I think you seem to be in control most of the game. Cedric Tomes had 103 yards passing and one touchdown off only four completions. 53 of those came on one pass. And the Raptors ran the ball 38 times, with Tomes having 19 of those carries for 135 yards and two touchdowns. Kyle Friend added 68 yards and one touchdown off 12 carries. Defensively, Matthew Brandon notched 14 tackles. Henry Burns had 12 and a forced fumble. Jack Wennerberg had one interception. And I saw this stat, and I wanted to mention it because it's a pretty ridiculous high school stat. Luke Ryerzy, two punts, 48.5 yard average.
Jeez.
Talk about flipping the field there, Coach.
Yeah, no kidding. He is just seriously a weapon that most teams just don't have.
And one of those was in the back of your end zone, I think, in the first half, the end of the first half. And, I mean, when you're in the back of the end zone in high school, that's a deadly place to be. And to get that out to the 50-yard line is pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it's not just a yardage, it's the hang time, too, that allows us to get down there. I think we got down there and we had a kid in position. They hit us in the back that they called. That pushed them back even farther, and a lot has to do with the hang time.
So, you know, defensively, I think early on played really well. I mean, you set the tone early, and they picked up the offense with that fumble recovery after you guys fumbled.
Yeah, they were really of the mindset of forcing turnovers. We actually had an interception that was called incomplete, but I mean, it was an interception. And we just kind of felt like they were going to get the ball for us. It just had that sense in the first half, and it took us a little bit to get going, but we were able to capitalize on it eventually.
Yeah, and the defense really seemed like they were flying around.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this before, but week to week, everybody seems more comfortable with their assignments, where they're supposed to be, where they're going.
Yeah, we're getting there. And the whole thing is, I mean, they're really big. I mean, they're huge up front, and we're just not.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But so our whole thing is we're going to have smaller guys. We got to have movement be our thing. And, you know, it sometimes can be hard for an offense to get used to that in the first quarter or the first half. And that's kind of what was happening.
I don't think you came out flat, though, at all. I mean, you know, you've had games this year where, you have come out flat. And it's taken you almost two quarters or even, you know, into the third quarter to get going. But, you know, that wasn't the case today or last week.
We walked out. So we take our walk from the locker room. And I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but if I had to speculate, the parents, boosters, fans, cheer have started this new tradition. I can't remember if I mentioned before that they line the sidewalk when we walk from the locker room to the field, and they're blasting music, and it's like, whoa, this is like it is a really cool tradition. And then so that was awesome. And then we walk down. And our first group walks down at about 6:05. Mm-hmm. So at 6:05, we walk onto the field, and the student section is full.
Yeah.
And loud, and like, whoa. And the energy was just awesome. It kind of had that same TCO energy. And high school kids are funny that way. They need that. They need something to get them going, to come out of the gate. And our kids really responded to that, and they did.
So, I mean, you didn't pass the ball a lot in this game at all, but defense picked up an interception, you know, early in the first quarter, you know, in the first quarter that really kind of in that part of that perfect part of the field where it's fun to take that deep shot in the first play.
Yeah, we had practiced this play all week. We just felt like our tight end, Chuck Green, is a little more athletic than teams think he is. And we wanted to run a play action on a first and 10 and take a shot deep. And as soon as we got that pick, I just felt like, you know what, let's just give it a shot.
Yeah.
And we almost blew the protection. We picked it up late. Cedric did a great job pushing the pocket.
For sure.
And when you look at the film, you notice that the safety was flat footed on the play action. Yep. And when Chuck got up to him, he was able to pick a side. So he kind of faked like he was going in and went around outside and stacked him, which means he got him on his back. to allow the ball to go over the top and made a great catch.
Well, and you know, really in your offense, you don't see a ton of pocket passing from Tomes.
Yes.
And, but this was, I mean, really good to see him handle that pressure because yeah. it was immediate.
Yep,
I mean, he stepped into the pocket, was calm, and delivered just really a perfect strike.
Yeah, you know, as a junior, your first year starting in varsity, you know, one of the things that's different is the pass rush mm-hmm. and trusting it and trusting the protection and understanding where to push, where to slide in the pocket. You know, something that Tom Brady was masterful at. But right. We work on it a lot, and he's just gotten a lot better understanding that you can't just catch the ball and run around anymore at quarterback. You got to push the pocket, and his immediate first step after made the fake was to push forward to help our O-line out, and he made a great throw off of it.
I mean, you can really see him developing some pretty good instincts back there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting comfortable, and that needs to then translate to me trusting him more yeah. in the pocket, right? We know what he can do outside of the pocket, but we can't 100% rely on it because teams are loading up outside and trying to keep us in.
Mm-hmm. Coach, I don't remember if it was on that drive, but it was in the first half, and you're in a third and 15, third and 14. He stays in the pocket, throws a looks like a deep out to Frentz, uh-huh. Maybe like a back shoulder
yep,
play.
But
it really looked like it set up that whole drive then.
It did. We were waiting for that. You know, we had the game plan that we were going to be a run-heavy team. We just felt like we could run it on them. But when we needed a throw, if they left their corner on Kyle one-on-one, we were going to throw our back shoulder play. And actually, we actually messed up the protection on that. I think we might have changed it. I changed it from the sideline. And one of the kids didn't get the call. And so Cedric had a guy bearing down on him, and a great testament to his maturation as a QB is he just stood in there, threw it, and took the hit.
Yeah.
And we just talk about putting it on his frame, putting it on Kyle's frame where he can catch it above his head
yeah.
Against a shorter corner. And that play, if you had to pick one, was the play of the game, right? Because you're in your own zone. They're kind of battling back, and their offensive line's starting to lean on us a little bit, yeah. and we're getting tired. We desperately needed to not punt there. And we get the first down, and we end up going driving all the way down and scoring. And I think making it a two-score game, that was the play that led to all that.
Yeah, and going back to that that deep play action, I mean, after you score the touchdown there, mm-hmm. Whitebear gets the ball back.
Yeah.
And, you know, the defense gives up, I want to say three running plays in a row over 10 yards. I think it was like a 12-yard play, a 14-yard play, and then like a 22-yard play. So they are, you're right. I mean, they're really leaning on you.
Yeah.
But they get down to the goal line, and you stiffen up down there.
Yeah. You know, we went into our heavy package, and against teams like that, we had a plan. We kind of knew what they were going to run, mm-hmm. and we just sold out. And then we just told the D, if they do something else, they're going to score, and that's fine. It's kind of one of those things where you're just overplaying what you think they're going to do.
Yeah.
And they did it, and our kids were ready for it, and they were physical enough to make the stop. It was great to see.
Yeah, and that's just film study, right? Seeing that?
Yeah.
Is that over years of playing them? Or you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more just tendency of this year. In tendencies in those situations, what we're going to overplay the tendency, and if they break their tendency, good for them kind of thing.
Yeah. And, I mean, were you surprised by how many times White Bear ran the ball? I mean, they also ran the ball a lot in that game.
No, I was surprised how many times they threw the ball. Okay. I mean, really, if for us, I mean, having an O-line that big,
yeah.
Your biggest fear is that they just lean on you all game long and get 3 yards, and it's hard to do anything about it, right? I mean, when they throw the ball, which is fine, you're taking the offense is taking a chance of an incompletion, which is a 0 yard gain, and for us mm-hmm. that's a victory. So we thought if they're going to throw the ball, great, we'll let them throw it, and we'll just do everything to sell it on the run.
You know. Their play action was working pretty well against you guys too, and I mean, that's part of their running game and being able to do that.
Yeah, I mean when you're having a big old line come down you like that and just running up the middle, you're gonna have play action open because you're selling out for the run, and mm-hmm. you're just telling your kids to do the best you can to read your keys, and if they make some plays in the pass game, it's just kind of good for them.
Yeah, I mean, I felt watching the game that it seemed like you were in control for most of the game.
Yeah.
I think, but in the late third, you know, they come back, have a big drive, and they get within 2 points there.
Yeah.
How did your kids feel after that?
You know, it's one of those scary feelings because you don't know if it's going to develop into those, oh, shoot, they're going to get that big storm of momentum that just rains down on us and we can't do anything about it. And I think when they didn't get the two-point play, we kind of breathed a sigh of relief.
Right.
And then we had the drive to respond. And that, those are the drives. And I think I talked about that last week, you know, against Woodbury. When you, when your offense has the ball to make it a two-score game versus keeping the other team in the game, that is the moment. That's the moment. Our defense has done enough to this point. Okay, now it's time for us to go down and score and stay ahead, because that's really what all we're trying to do. We're trying to score first and stay ahead and win by 1 point. That's our whole thing, as we tell our kids.
Yeah, and so for you in this game, you had lots of quarterback design quarterback runs.
Yeah.
It wasn't just scrambles that, that ended up being runs that happened sometime on your teams, but you, I mean, you had a lot of quarterback design runs.
Yeah.
And particularly, what I mean, the play I really liked was the fake jet sweep that led to that 15-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a little bit the design of that play.
Yeah.
What I liked about it is, I mean, you pull front and a tackle the other way while the jet sweep's coming this way. You don't see a lot of that kind of tight end pulling really too much. You guys do it a little more, but
yeah, we do. You know, teams have gotten into, you know, pulling a tight end or a wing, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you just pretend like other teams might use a fullback.
Yeah.
We just happen to be fortunate enough that we have a wide receiver who can be a tight end, can be a fullback, can be a running back, can be whatever.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the difference is teams don't have Kyle, you know, to be able to do that. But when we have other kids who can do a similar thing from different spots. So for us, it's just a basic running play that we rep all the time with a different look, a different window dressing, because what we're threatening the defense is with an outside zone or a jet to that side, which we ran multiple times. We didn't run it a lot with the jet sweep, but we were running outside zone with our running back, and now we're giving it a different look. And it's a hard read for linebackers. If you take a half step towards that, we've gotten the angles on you, which is what was occurring.
I mean, is it better to pull with a faster guy too? I mean, it was watching that play kind of from the end zone.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens so fast.
It does.
These guys flowing this way, and all of a sudden, Kyle's right there on the other side.
Yeah, I don't know if it's speed, more of athletic football awareness and knowing where to be and when and how to read it, because you do have to read it. It's kind of, can you read it going fast? Because it might go up inside or it might bounce around, and he's got to read the kick out there.
So I think, you know, generally you seem to have a little more trouble with teams that do have a size advantage. And I think that's, predominantly early in the season.
Yes.
But you really do figure it out as a team how to handle kind of bigger teams towards the end of the season. I mean, you can talk about that last year against Prior Lake
and
all those things. I mean, what how do you find ways to negate that size advantage as the season goes on?
Yeah, we have struggled only because that's football, right? If you're playing a big team and you're small, that's tough. But one is getting our kids to play lower. And we're still kind of struggling with that right now. And you would think that it's harder than it sounds, is to have small guys play as low as possible and play under the pads of the big old linemen.
Yeah.
And so that has taken time. Each year we've gone through this. The other thing is teaching our kids these little tips and tricks and little special things that we're going to call, whether it's cutting an offensive lineman, whether it's slanting around them and using our speed. And it takes time to get at that. And so, you know, I don't know that perfect answer to why, you know, we figured out towards the end, and maybe we don't this year. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that's it. It's just repping those things and getting better at the techniques to handle that. But with that said, sometimes it just doesn't matter.
Sure.
So you can do whatever you want, and sometimes if they get their body on you, you just have to give them the yards and make a tackle 5 yards down the field.
Yeah, yeah. So White Bear comes in. I mean, they're you know, they get within 8 points, but then you have one more drive left. Talk about your ability to close out that game.
Yeah. So I don't know if you noticed, but we only ran two plays. Mm-hmm. We ran the outside zone one way and the QB counter the other way.
Yeah.
We just said, you know what? They're having a hard time with it. I'm not calling anything else until they stop these two plays. Yeah. I think we called one QB sweep, but I told our kids that. And, You know, when our kids know that we're running our bread and butter plays, that they know exactly how to block, right. They say, yep, coach, keep running it. Yep, we got this. And I could see the confidence in them that, you know, we were going to take this in, and we don't need to do anything else. I even talked to Cedric. We don't need RPO throws. Even if it's open, we don't need them.
Yeah.
Don't even take it. Just stick with the run, and we'll be fine. And we're going to get at worst into a 4th-and-1, and we'll get the first down.
Yeah, I mean, and really coming off, an emotional big win against Woodbury.
Yeah.
I mean, you like we talked about, you didn't come off flat. How important was it not to kind of have a letdown?
Oh my gosh, huge! And we talked about it so much with our team. We talked about the history of really beating Woodbury. And the week after beating Woodbury has just been horrible for us. And like, are you going to be the team that ends this trend?
Right.
And here's why it happens. And they really embraced that. They understood it, and they had a really good week of practice. And they came out understanding that even though the team was 0-4, they're a good team, and they can beat good teams, and they can beat you if you're not ready. And they believed it, and they embraced it, and they got after it, and I'm proud of them for that.
And I think you're really seeing that, especially defensively. I mean, again, with the kids just being seemingly more confident in their positions. Yeah. I mean, at this point in the season, how do you feel about this team's identity?
I feel great about the identity. Mm-hmm. It is, okay, now can we get to the next level? Yep. Can we actually get to okay, yeah, we're good at what we're doing. We know what we're doing. Can we be great? And that's what I tell the kids. Can you be great as an individual at whatever your job is? And how do you get to that spot? And if we have a bunch of guys on the team getting to that greatness, then the sky's the limit for them. But we'll see. I don't know, because we haven't gotten there yet.
Well, and another big opportunity at home this week against Moundsview. You know, they're a 3-2 team, very formidable opponent.
Oh man, they if you look at their games, they really should have beat Farmington. Mm-hmm. Farmington, a miracle overtime win against them, and then they played Stillwater, and their quarterback got hurt early in the first half. I think they had another kid get hurt, and their defense really shut down Stillwater and played them tough. And then they really took it to Forest Lake, who just beat Stillwater. And so they could be undefeated. They're just that kind of team, they're the kind of team that is that good. They're as good as anybody in the conference. And our kids understand that. Mm-hmm. And it is going to be a big battle for us. And like I've told the kids before, you got to want to play in this kind of game. This is one of those games where it can come down to the end, whatever it is, and we just got to be excited about it, not nervous about it. Win, lose, doesn't matter. Let's be in that game, and we can't wait.
You know, offensively, they really spread you out. They play from the spread a ton, 3 receivers, 4 receivers. But they do like to run out of it a lot, too.
They're a running team. Yeah. They're a spread running team who has terrifying speed on the edges. Yeah. They have two kids who are, 4-4 type of kids with a fast, agile quarterback, fast running back. They just have burners. And it is really tough to turn on the film and try to scheme a defense against them, because they do attempt, they do get you in space and then run the ball. And that's the toughest thing when you have a QB running like that, because you have an extra guy and it poses a lot of problems.
Yeah. A lot of that design quarterback run, I mean, similar to the plays that you run, but you tend to run them out of tighter formations than they do. So what challenges does that present to your defense?
Yeah. So what it does is having the RPO throws and more of a horizontal, right? So if you spread your receivers out farther, they're essentially forcing, or at least attempting to force, our defenders out wider to open up space in the middle for their runs or QB runs. And so they just do it at a wider area. For us, we like tighter because we like to get more blockers in on the attack, where they got more RPO options. And so both are tough. And, for us, it's just about mitigating what they're really good at, because you're not going to be able to stop them fully.
So I wanted to just kind of get out of the game stuff for a little bit and talk about, we're here on a Tuesday, it's a little earlier than typical. I think we're going to do this on Tuesdays going forward here, but, talk about your schedule on Tuesday. I mean, you're coming off the game Friday, you got Saturday, and then, there's a lot more film than there used to be. And, I'm looking at this, and it's just, you guys film everything.
Yeah.
You've got so much scouting film. I mean, how is there enough time in the week to even look at all this stuff?
Well, you know, Saturday we got JV. So we got meetings on Saturday morning, got team meeting, got film to watch the last game. Then you got JV. You know, then I go home and I'm watching all of our opponents' games from the previous weeks all weekend long. I watch every single game a lot. And then when we get to Monday, we watch film with our kids to show them the scouting report, show them key plays from our opponent. And we film it. So then we practice, which is a little bit shorter. We film it. Then on Tuesday, we'll practice and watch film. So our tech coach, Andrew Larson, who's phenomenal. He's the one who flies the drone. He gets everything. It's amazing how great of the film that we get. I asked him, can you get the film up in 15 minutes so we can watch today's practice today?
Yeah.
He said, I'll do my best. Well, we got in there. We watched Monday's practice today. Yeah. And then he came as a coach. It's ready. So we perfect meeting. We watched Tuesday's practice.
Yeah.
So then tomorrow we'll lift and practice. And then Thursday we'll watch today and Thursday in the film room. So we want to continue to watch ourselves to get better, to get that feedback. And then you're also mixing in opponent film to see key things that they're doing that we need to be ready for. So it's a lot. And then kids are watching film at home. They have a lot of access to it. It's a different thing. The other teams are taking advantage of it. So you really need to be on it. It kind of has that college mentality. We're filming everything. We need to watch as much of it as we can.
On the sidelines during games, you have two big screen TVs that are. Are there rules about what you can watch and what you can't watch? How does that work?
No, you can watch the play at any time. Uh-huh. So what's happening is we're filming the play. It's immediately being uploaded there.
Yeah.
So you almost watch it right after the play. You could. And then we have those monitors for the kids to sit down on the bench and watch, but the coaches can hold iPads. And the only rule is that you can't be on the field or like on close to the field with your iPad. I can just be just off the field watching the iPad, which is what I do because I need to be over by the sideline in case there's a penalty. I need to help the defense. So I'm watching on my iPad while the assistants are watching with the players on the monitor. Okay. So then when the offense goes back on the field, the defense will sit down and they will watch the monitors and they'll go over that with their coaches. And we just trade off doing that the whole game. And it's a really incredible thing.
We've been playing since, you know, we graduated high school in 2000. I mean, these things weren't available.
No, not even close.
Is there a point where there's almost too much technology and too much information?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I was talking to a coach and he kind of said, I don't know why you guys film that. I don't know how you have time to watch all that stuff. Yeah, absolutely. I would prefer it if there wasn't. Yeah. I would prefer if you could not watch film. I don't like the advantage for other coaches to see stuff on film during the game. I'd rather have it be old school. You just got to see it and figure it out from there. It is time consuming. With that said, I love it. I love watching film. Yeah. I mean, I love I love being able to see everything. And
this is why nobody sees.
Exactly. I mean, and the tough thing too is you're getting multiple camera angles. So now I go watch a game. You're watching the side angle. You're watching the end zone angle. And, you know, some teams have two end zone angles, and unfortunately, we can't fly the drone during the game. But if we could, I'd watch that one too.
One of the reasons why a friend does this podcast is just so we have proof of life. Of Dan, we know he's okay and everything's okay.
Sounds about right.
Well, that's all we have time for this week, folks. Thanks again to Custom One Homes for sponsoring this podcast. Coach, good luck on Friday. And keep the wins coming.
Thanks. Baby, could you? I got too much.